Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message. Without any further ado, let's all receive Brother Louis Parraza by saying, Praise the Lord.
Good morning, Grace and Grace. How's everybody today? Everybody's happy. Everybody's filled with the Spirit. I see that. I know. We opened up in prayer this morning, well, starting off at 9 a.m., and the Spirit is here, definitely. I feel it, and I see it, too, out here. Okay? Well, let's start off with opening up in prayer before I go ahead and give out this this wonderful message God has for everybody, okay? All right? Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing us here together as a family to serve you, to worship you, to give us a message that you want us to hear with open hearts, open ears, and open eyes towards you. Let this message be beneficial to all of us and those that don't know you yet, and reach out to them as well. We love you, Father. We strive to do better for you always, and we'll do our best to follow your instruction and gather all those to come through and follow us, follow you, to follow you, Father. For all the glory is for you, not for us, not for me. I'm just here, just being the messenger you want me to be. And I thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray to you. We pray to you. Amen. All right. So wanted to kind of piggyback off of what Pastor Fee was saying this morning about that incident that happened and our nation is fully aware of. Apparently, we lost a brother, Charlie Kirk. I believe that's his last name. You know, that incident right there, I'm not all for the violence or anything like that, but God's plan unfolded. A lot of nations are praying right now. They're aware. God is in everybody's mind right now. The word God has been spread through social media more than I've seen lately. Okay, that's the plan that needed to be unfolded. That's his plan. Charlie didn't die. God took him to his kingdom. That's what it is. All right. And with that too, we're not gonna be battling with each other over political differences. That's just that. Who are we to go ahead and celebrate a death of somebody? That's not the way we roll. Not at all. Okay. On the other hand here, I'm going to get to the message. Just wanted to also carry on with everybody's or majority's favorite sport, boxing. I know a lot of you saw the fight. I know Dell did. Pastor Fee did. I know this house was filled with a lot of fans. And if you didn't watch boxing last night, it's okay. But I'll fill you in on the highlights. Where are you going with this, Louis? Right, we're talking about boxing or what? Okay, let me get there. So the ninth round, that's when they started connecting, or at least Crawford did a little bit of damage. But the finale was the best. I'm not talking about the scores. I'm talking about the difference between an athlete that is a true believer in Christ versus the usual that just wants to, you know, give credit out to his sponsors only and to toda la gente and this and that. The other boxer, on the other hand, was, I give the glory to God. I give the glory to God. Hey, well, hey Crawford, you did? Hey, I give the glory to God. That's it. So that right there, that when you got God in your corner, that's a lot better than having any other sponsor in your corner, I got to say. Okay, that's the winning team right there, right? That's what it is. So I just had to mention that. So that's why we're talking about boxing. I think the finale was the best thing right there when you know, when they were talking about the bosses, how the event went, how's everybody feeling. But thank you, God, for these athletes, this man. All right, great deal. You know, they tend to think that, we all believe that end of times are near from all the events that are unraveling right now, okay? It says in Revelations that we will soon become lovers of ourselves, you know, and yeah, you're supposed to love yourself. But beyond that, I mean, just everybody wants to be in the highlight, in the camera, and the look at me, the selfies. I'm all in the video. We all take videos. Nothing wrong with that. But when you're just all about yourself and don't allow God to enter your heart, then yeah, you're just all about yourself. Give the glory to God. You know, God gave you health, beauty, etc. Why not just go ahead and follow him, right? So let me get to the word here real quick. Let me go ahead and hang this up. I actually like holding the mic. I seen Marty do this the other day. But let me put this down for a minute. God bless Brother Marty. We love him. All right. So, Pastor Fee, I heard you this morning saying God's plan, and guess what we're going to talk about today. All right. Yeah. Amen. So I thought he went through my notes for a minute. All right. So here's what I got. So a reminder, God's plan is unfolding. As I started off with earlier, there's not a mistake why you're all here today. You know, there's not. Or why I'm up here. I'm here because of the glory of God, not because I want to look nice on the camera or something or in front of everybody. Not at all. So let's start off with this here. Well, good morning, Amazing Grace family. Facebook, YouTube, and all those that are watching. And, you know, start off, we already did this, but I like this anyways. I like to ask every brother and sister to greet each other next to you or away from across each other. We're all here to fellowship with each other. So give everybody a hello. Okay? So thank you, Lord, for the Sunday morning. I write my notes here because... Hey, sorry. Hey, everybody, good morning. Good morning, brothers and sisters. You know, just thank you, Lord, for this Sunday morning. The next thing I'm going to talk about is it's kind of for thought, but why are we here, right? This very morning, we could be out, you know, on our own plan, probably eating menudo or at the pancake house, but the reality is that we are on a plan that is not our own. There's a plan of everything. And there is, for buildings, new developments, infrastructures, with ourselves too. You know, without a plan, what good is anything, right? I'm not going to ask our pastor Ari here and Marty to pour out some concrete in the backyard and pretend there's a pool to be made there. There's no rebar, nothing dug out, right? It's got to be a plan. So, yeah, today's message is God's plan. And it has nothing to do with Drake, right? So let's get into the word. So here's the verse I want to go ahead and bring up first. For those that usually attend a service on Easter, you're all familiar with this one. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil. To give future and hope. Okay. Notice that it says not evil. He has plans for you, not to fail. So with God, God's plan. God is the planner. He has a perfect plan, and it starts to unfold in the beginning of the Bible in Genesis 1 through all the way through Genesis 3. Okay. So I'm going to get into the book here. This is a no-brainer to many of you who are more avid in the Word, but I'd like to go ahead and still read Genesis 1. And it's quite a bit to read. But even a person like myself, before I was saved, I didn't know the word completely. I would like to hear anybody go ahead and read out the word for me real quick. So here's the God's plan unfolding here. Okay. In the beginning, God created Genesis 1. Let's start off with there. In the beginning, God created the heavens, the earth. The earth was without form and void of darkness. On the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. 3. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light, it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. 5. God called it light day, and the darkness he called night. The evening and the morning were the first day. Okay. Let's stop right there real quick. So there's a plan. It's almost like a movie set. It's just empty, right? But it's just nothing. So he's the creator. He's creating the scene now. Okay. That's his plan. Because there wouldn't be nothing right now, 2025, if he didn't start this matter first. Okay. Now 6. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. 7. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters, which were the firmament, from the waters above. So God called firmament heaven. Okay, so he's already, you know, starting off with earth. I'm going to skip a little bit more forward, right? Let's go to 14. Then God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years. I'm going to stop right there. So obviously we're at the end of summer, right? Where we're at the beginning of fall. That's where his word becomes. Now, aside of that, you notice how we were talking about plans and a pool and concrete and stuff. There's a plan right here for seasons. There's a... I tend to believe that God is the greatest engineer of them all, the best scientist ever, because when I think about how things work, biology and everything, he perfectly created Earth, the stars, the heavens, all of the above. You know, while he gave that to us on the Earth, we went ahead and discovered it later and put it to work because he gave it to us. He provided all this. Okay? So I'm going to go ahead and jump forward real quick on 17. God said them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on earth and to rule over the day, over night, and to divide the light from the darkness. Again, he kind of just said this like 3 times in the beginning of Genesis here. Continuing on. And God saw it was good. All right, 20. Then God said, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures. Let the birds fly above, earth across the face, and firmament of heavens. God created sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with waters abounded according to the kind of every winged bird and its kind. And God saw it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters and seas. Let the birds multiply in the earth. So the evening and morning, 23. So the evening and morning were the fifth day. Okay. 24. Then God said, let the earth bring the living creature according to his kind, cattle, creeping things, and beasts on the earth, each according to his kind. And it was so. Okay. Go to 26 real quick. Then God said, let us make man. All right. The plan is getting more deep now. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish, the sea, over the birds and the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. I'm going to stop real quick. So God created us in our image. Obviously, we don't look like cattle. We don't have wings. We're not birds. But in his image, obviously, not like a spider that has a multitude of legs. So his image reflects this. I mean, I'm not going to say identical because, you know, we have different hairdos and so on. But, you know, the limbs we have, the structure we have, we walk standing up. We don't crawl. You know, we don't, like, make nests or webs or whatever. This is his work right here. This is God's plan. Excuse me there. This is God's plan right here. So, apparently, it's starting to unfold. This is Genesis. The work doesn't stop there. I'm just kind of skipping through this you know, I'm moving on as quick as I can because there's a lot of scripture here. So here we go. We're going to go ahead and move on to Genesis 2. Thus the heavens and the earth, all the most of them, were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. That's the resting day. That's the Sabbath. Okay. We're not supposed to work. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day of the Lord made God the earth and heavens. Before any plant in the fields in the earth, and before any herb in the field had grown, for Lord God not caused it to rain on the earth, there was no man to till the ground, but the mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face on the ground. I'm going to stop there. That's amazing. So it didn't rain from clouds. We get mist coming up from the ground. That's some history there. I find that very amazing, since we're talking about biology, scientists, him being a scientist, the greatest scientist of all, and the creator. Okay. I'm going to skip forward a little bit more. So we're going to go to Genesis 2:8. On 2:8 it says, the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant in sight and good for food. The tree was tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay, that's key right there. I'm going to stop. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay, so remember that one right there. We're going to move on to Genesis 2:18, and we're getting to where we kind of want to be at in the Word, okay? So in Genesis 2:18 says, and the Lord God said, it is not good for man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. 19. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird in the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, there was he gave it a name. 20. So Adam gave names to all cattle, birds, air, and to every beast in the field. But Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. I'm going to stop real quick. So notice how we went from engineering scientists, and now we have a doctor here. Opened a man up, took a rib, closed it up like a surgery. That's amazing. That is. And notice that the bone was on the side, you know, on your rib. It wasn't like a foot that he steps on. It's a companion, right? So he thought about that, obviously. He just didn't break a bone out of his neck or something. That's good. Now you got companionship. Okay, so here we go with where we're trying to be at. Now we're at Genesis 3. Okay, but you know, I'm going a little bit too fast, but this is a big point right here. Number 20, Genesis 3:24. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined with his wife. They shall become one flesh. 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Let's stop. That's God's plan right there. And God's plan, that's a very important key. You know what he said? Wife, not his girlfriend. He didn't say someone he kind of just wandered off with, and then she's going home, he's going home. God made man and woman so they become husband and wife. They were not ashamed of each other. I'll tell you why. Because we got God, husband, wife as one. There's no shame in that. That's God's plan. Okay, for all those, you know, that are single out there, we got to go towards God's plan to go ahead and be more fruitful and follow it and be blessed. Otherwise, it's a failed plan coming up, but a lot of disasters that come with the relationship. You know, we need to go ahead and look at God's plan always. Not all of us know this plan, though. It has to be unfolded out to you and told. I didn't know this plan. We all have to learn it. But it's a good thing to go ahead and, you know, pass this plan down to others. That's our job. So, you know, we all can have a better life, you know, under God. So here's what I'm going to put this aside for a minute. One thing I want to mention to everybody is that in the Bible, from beginning to end, it's a battle. It's been a battleground from good and evil, from Genesis all the way down to the last book. To the last book, okay? It's a battle. That's what this book's about. Right now, we're about to encounter our first battle, okay? Now, keep in mind, I'm still on the topic of God's plan, okay? We're still on the same topic. All right, number three. Genesis 3. Now, the serpent has more cunning than any beast in the field which Lord God made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Let's stop right there. Remember that that tree that we were talking about earlier? The knowledge of good and evil that God said, lay off of it? That was his plan right there. However, we're going with something else now, a serpent. I'm talking to the woman. And I'm going to carry on with the verse, okay? So I'm going to continue now. "Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?" 2. "And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the tree of the gardens, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat it, and eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. 6. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." He ate. "Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made self-coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." 9. "Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. 11. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to, that you shall not eat? 12. And the man said, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree and I ate. So here we go. Hey, you told her, you told me that's my wife. Right? It was her. Anyhow, that's where the problems start right here with the temptations. I'm not going with the plan, okay? Remember, we are still on the topic of God's plan. It sounds like, why are you reading Genesis? We all know the book. Okay, I get it, you know. So let's continue on. All right, 13. We're at Genesis 3, 13. "And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. 14. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast in the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her breed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. 16. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception in pain, and shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. 17. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. 18. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground for it. If you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Well, one thing for sure, God was right from the start. He said, you will die. I mean, maybe not like that, but now he's telling them, hey, well, you're going to return back to dust again. He was right the whole time. All right, we're about to finish up with 3 right now. About maybe 5 more verses to go. And Adam called his wife name Eve, because she was the mother of all living things. 21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. I'm going to stop real quick. Notice how the knowledge of good and evil, and then their eyes opened, and now they're seeing differently than before they ate the tree. They're seeing themselves bare now without clothing. So it's a whole different atmosphere for them after they eat that fruit. God made them clothes. Here, put this on. Try them on. Right? 22. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now let's put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out to the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim, I think that's how it's pronounced, at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. All right. So that kind of turns right there for the first book in the Bible of God's plan. It started out with created the earth, everything on it, the heavens, the stars, the animals, cattle, man's wife, a command, a simple order. Then all of a sudden evil came in and attacked. The enemy came in. That's what it was. So that story is very, very important, very vital to all of us, how things can just go that way if we allow it to. Following God's plan is the better deal, all day, all the time. Okay, so obviously that wasn't God's plan. It is clear that Adam and Eve's plan failed. It fell into disobedience when God commanded Adam not to eat the tree of the knowledge of evil. That was done. All right, so back to Jeremiah 29:11. Let's read this with 29:11. We already read. We're going to read on to 29:12, 29:13, 29:14. So while I get there, you guys have a chance. Jeremiah 29:11. Alright, so let's read this completely, because everybody just stops at 29:11, Jeremiah 29:11. But we take this further, okay? And so I'm on NKJV version, okay? Just so you know. By the way, it's one of the greatest gifts I ever received. Thank you, Pastor Free, Sister Yolanda. Yes, thank you. Thank you, God. All right, here we go. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope. I'm gonna pause. Future and hope. That's what he wants to give us. That's his plan. It's not to see us miserable, failing, etc., sick, killing each other. No, for future hope. Peace, not evil. Number 12. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. 13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. 14. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. And that's it right there. I'm going to do the breakdown. Breakdown. All right. So for Jeremiah 29:12, this verse speaks of future time. People will turn to God in repentance and prayer, and he will hear and respond to them. God promises to hear and listen. Repentance and seeking. Hope and sincerity. So God knows the... Okay, so we're following from 29:11. Yeah, he has the plans for you. Good plans, not the evil plans. He's here for you. Follow on to this one. Obviously, it speaks of... you got to also seek for him. You got to do your job, too. You know, there's a lot of hope. But if you're not reaching out to God, you're not out there in prayer to him, you got to seek him. Want him. Receive it. You know, to all my brothers and sisters here, if I had... 4 round trip tickets right here, airlines, and then 4 hotel stays for 4 nights at Hawaii. And I say, here you go. Are you just going to stand there? Well, no, obviously not. You can, hey, what's up, Louis? Right? So this is the same thing. You know, there's hope. He will listen. That's a promise. Okay? So Jeremiah 29:13. Let's break that one down. A promise that God can be found by anyone searches for him wholeheartedly. God does not hide, but it's accessible. Accessible. I don't know, you know, we all have either jobs or someone to answer to. We go to a supervisor, he has no time, his door's closed, and he'll catch up with you maybe tomorrow. No, not this boss. He wants to hear from you. Hey, my door is open, come through. What can I help you with? I'm here. That's great. You know how many times I try to talk to my supervisor? Yo, I got a phone call. I got this. Oh, okay, I get it. I'll just come back later. No worries, you know. But no, the door's open always. He's a lot easier to talk to than my supervisor. All right. Hey, normally, I don't talk about work. Marilee knows that. I don't bring that. At 3 o'clock, I'm out. Okay. Jeremiah 29:14. The breakdown of that one, okay? A promise from God to the exiled Israelites that he will be found by them when they seek him with all their hearts, and that he will restore their fortunes, gather from all nations, and bring them back to their homeland from which they were sent into exile. Okay? This verse, you know, I read it in short, and it's all God's plan. All that right there, Jeremiah 11 through 14. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. That is God's plan right there. As simple as 1, 2, 3. All right. Seek them. Find them. Look for them. There's other steps we also got to take and measures, though. Okay. So, you know, you got to be willing to fight. You got to be a fighter for God. There's a lot of things in this world that is going to go ahead and distract you, try to take you down. Whatever instances there is, you got to be a fighter. You can't just stand still and then, I just stopped going to church, period, all the way, you know. I've been deceived that way. I was MIA for 8 months. And since I was a young kid, because my mom brought us up in a Christian church. As a teenager, I still didn't mind walking to Old Thai Baptist Church back in the 90s. I walked because I liked it. I don't. God got a hold of me. I'll take a walk. I didn't have to ask my mom. I was already 16, and she probably didn't know I was going to because, yeah, you know, he's hombrecito all of a sudden, so he walks everywhere. But that's where I would go. Somehow, God just draws me like a light, you know, like a night light. And you know, it works out. I'm still here. But, yeah, I did like 8 months before I met Mary Lee, my wife. I was MIA for some circumstances that you know that were not big enough to draw me away from God Almighty. You know, but thank God He placed me here. I met all you brothers and sisters here at Amazing Grace, and you know, there's always hope. I have to do my part. I gotta be a fighter. I can't be just knocked down for 8 months. Get up. All right. Don't let nothing draw you away. That's the plan of the enemy. He wants to seek, destroy you, break up your family, divorce you, kill you. You know, I have no, you know, yeah, God. God's the reason why I'm here. I give Him the glory, you know. I thank God we're all here. You know, God's plan is unfolding. God used my phone last night and sent text messages out to invite brothers and sisters. You know, whoever's here is great. We're here. We'll pray for the others. You know, God's plan is His timing, by the way. It's not mine. It's His. He'll draw them here. You know, Henry Martinez, come through. We're here. John Metcalf, we're here. Come through. You know, Sonny, come through. Big John, come through. God's calling you. It's not me. I'm just the messenger. God. My sister-in-law, Jennifer, come through. God's calling. I only have this many contact numbers in my phone. Somebody give me another one. All right? Let's do this. All right. Now, let me, you know, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this again. Just like Crawford last night, I give the glory to God. And you all do too. And I'm happy to see everybody here now. You know. God has me in training right now. He has me in training mode. He has me in as a fisherman in training right now. And then those that don't understand that, it's like, you know, when we're Christians, we become fishermen of men. All right? And besides that, iron sharpens iron. You see somebody falling, bring them along. All right? We got to carry their burdens too. Let's do this. All right? I want to summarize the message God sent before me to give to everybody here. I don't have a lot of material. A lot of time I'm reading this. Like I said, I'm in training. But, you know, this is just what God wants me to do for the time being until I get a little more savvy. So here's a summary. In the Bible, God's plan is to redeem humanity and all creation from sin through His Son, Jesus Christ. Ultimately, to restore peace, live with Him in a new heaven and new earth. This plan includes creating a people of His image, which we already read about, established in His kingdom, and having believers live lives of service and good works for all His ultimate glory. And that's what He wants us to do. All right? There's something that we need to know, though, and always keep this in mind. We're not at war with the flesh here, but of evil spirits only. We're in a war, and we're on the same team. I know, I didn't know all this stuff. I had somebody tell me this back in 2018. We're at a war. You know, the church, some churches just want to tell you, hey, yeah, get saved, and then praise, and then that's it. There's also got to be defense to this, too. And when my brother Charlie, he's an OG from Imperial Beach, Christian now, he's a preacher, and he talked to me too at a job in Imperial Beach, 2017, don't forget it. He told me, yeah, there's a spiritual warfare. Did you know about that? I told him, well, no, what? Talk to me, what? Yeah, well, look. And that's something that I want to address on the next time I come up to speak. But we are at war every day. The moment we walk out of here, we got to put our guards up. You know, don't only learn your one, twos, threes, fours combinations. You also got to get the footwork too. Get with that defense. All right? Keep your guard up. Keep praying. Stick together. Sometimes I don't pray enough, but I should be. I should. That's why I like it when I'm called to speak, because I start picking up more things. It's like I start decoding things, you know, from God's word. I love it. So, God's looking for Adrian. He's supposed to be here today. Doesn't matter his reasons why he's not here today, but he's calling him. Okay? We got another sister we got to save as well. All right? We're not going to lose on this war we're going through. So, God's knocking. We'll be having you real soon, both of you. All right? In Jesus' name. All right? In Jesus' name. Yes. Yes. Thank you, God, for this extra page, because I was cutting myself a little short. All right. All right. So, here we go. How to live out God's plan. I got three points to make here. They're pretty simple to do. Rejoice. Okay, number one, rejoice. Pray and give thanks. These actions help focus on God's will for us in Christ. They do. Look for them. That's number one. Okay. Number two, seek God's guidance. Trusting God to order our steps and seeking Him through prayer is key to walking in His plan. That's His plan. My brothers and sisters, just because we were able to walk today, go to work, make a paycheck, and say I did this, you know, I earned this, I deserve it all. Somebody gave you life. Somebody's looking after you. Somebody dodged some bullets for you while you didn't know behind your back. You know, trust God in that. You know, that's why I tithe. You know, I gave my 10%. It's the most I can. I put my trust in God. 10% is nothing out of the 100. All day. You give me more anyway. I'm rich. You know when I'm rich? I'm going to tell you when I'm rich. When God blesses me, pays my bills, there's food on the table, and I can walk tomorrow, go to work still. That's when I'm rich. It's not the commas on the bank account. No, God makes me feel rich. Fills that void. That's why when we have that void inside of us, we're trying to fill it in all the time with something else that is not in God's plan. You know, a night with another person you don't even know, and then leaving in the morning gives you that void again. Having all that pisto, all that drinking, the next day it's a void. It's another cruda. For what? It's a void again. You know, going home, even the richest man that is not a believer, it still has a void no matter how much money he got. Fill it in. That's when you're happier. I'm happy every day. I'm happy as can be. Thank you, God. Here's my third point here. Be transformed. God's plan involves being transformed to become more like Christ and to live a life of reflecting His character. In order to walk with God, we must also do the same work He's doing as well. He's lifting others. Walk in His footsteps, in other words. That's the plan. Be transformed. Be more like Him. You know, let's get baptized. Let's receive the Holy Ghost. Okay? That's the form of defense. And thank you, God, for this message. You know, like I said, I'm a fisherman in training right now. That's the message you wanted me to give you guys today. We have to go ahead and get the next message out. Maybe I should call it a part two. Maybe not a part two. But we are, yes, patience, right? So we're at spiritual warfare is the next after this one right here. The defense, all right? The offense, we got it today. Let's get the defense on the next round, all right? So But this, I'm going to call Pastor Fee up here. He can come up here, please, and then we go ahead and do the prayer of salvation as well. All right. Brother and sister, bless you be. Thank you. In God's name, Jesus' name, amen. Come on, did you do a fine job? Come on. Amen. I call him and Brother Marty sons of thunder. God is raising up some sons of thunder here. Amen. Amen. Well, we want to thank and praise God for each and every one of you that has come forth. Amen. And we're so mighty blessed. And before we reach out to those that are on Facebook and YouTube, I just want to remind everyone, let's be there for Frankie's game on Saturday, all right? 12 noon. We want to come out there and be a support to him and to his family and to cheer him on. You never know where God's going to take him. But he's exciting to watch. And their team is 3-0, so undefeated. So praise God. Praise God. But Brother Louis, thank you for the message. Thank you for, you know, God does have a plan. He does have a plan. And as I shared earlier before you came up, you know, that God's plan right now is in action. Especially what happened to Charlie. Because the whole world is praying now. And so I was trying to figure this out. God, if you're coming on the Feast of Trumpets, the church is asleep. And not anymore. There was, 3 million in Europe? Where? 2 million in Italy. A little over a million in South Korea. But the whole, and all the universities in this country are doing vigils and prayer meetings. So that lets me know. No. He was a martyr. And God allowed his passing to wake up the church. Because he's coming. He's about ready to come and take the bride home. He's going to take the bride home. And he wants his church to be up. And drawing close to him. Amen. So, man, I'm excited. And those of you that are watching on Facebook and YouTube, you may be wondering, hey, is there a plan for me? Yeah, absolutely. There's a plan for you. You might have logged on and maybe were searching out the word amazing. Or maybe you wanted to know more about the word grace. And then amazing grace popped up. And now you've logged on, and then now you've heard the message, and now God has touched your heart. If that's you right now, and you're saying to yourself, I need God in my life. I need to be saved. Well, I'm going to ask by faith the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too can be saved. And have eternal life. And that God will have a brand new and awesome plan awaiting you. Because every one of us now has a plan. And it's God's plan. To live a holy life, sanctified, set apart for his good use and purpose. How many are so blessed to know that once God got a hold of your heart, he gave you a new plan? Oh, that's right. And he wants to give you a new plan. And the plan he had for me is beyond my comprehension. I remember before I got saved 34 years ago,
I was a cursing soul. Every other word was a F-bomb and a D-bomb and all the other bombs. All my music was horrible. It was very bad music. Rap was barely coming out, and I was gravitating to all that junk. And then God got a hold of my heart. And I remember I had over 300 CDs and albums of R&B, jazz, funk, and some of the new rap that was coming out. And I trashed it all in one day. But I think the greatest miracle, other than him saving my soul, was the day I gave my heart to Jesus, when the custodian led me to the Lord. Not only was I delivered from crystal meth, marijuana, cocaine, all that drug, that was instantly. But the one of the greatest miracles that I can't comprehend is he took that filthy mouth of mine and deleted it. I couldn't find myself saying those words anymore. They were gone. He wiped them clean from me. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. And God wants to do something like that for you. So bow your heart and your head with me and let him do that miracle for you. Pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on, is he worthy? Oh, he's so worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.